This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Not in the name of the Most High.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always for every single opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in getting together for the sake of Allah, to learn more about Allah and the deen of Allah and the biography of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the greatest human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ever created. And we've been talking about the challenges that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are facing in Mecca at the very beginning of the da'wah. And we are up to the fifth or the sixth year after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received revelation. And we know that the first 3 years of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receiving the revelation, the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was discreet. It was in secret. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give the da'wah discreetly, quietly, secretly. After 3 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out in the open, in the public, to start calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fear no one but Allah. Obviously, the people of Quraysh weren't happy to see and hear that there's someone new who emerged and calling to a new religion that they've never heard of before. In particular, that this religion that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come with, it challenges the ideology of the people of Quraysh and their religion. It challenges worshipping idols. It challenges them resorting to idols. It challenges many of their practices, oppressive, unjust practices. It challenges many of their thoughts. So obviously they opposed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, fought against the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, and continued to escalate their countering and combating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in different ways, in different forms, in different shapes, in different means. And we mentioned they started at the very beginning verbally abusing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it escalated to physically abusing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, and then it escalated to plan and plot in killing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So all sorts of persecution, torture, defamation, demonizing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, marginalizing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But subhanallah, at the end of the day, this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that says, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. Allah is the one that sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that sent Islam with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Islam is the true religion. For Islam to dominate. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Even if the disbelievers, even if the disbelievers don't like it, at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that sent Muhammad, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that sent Islam with Muhammad to call people to Islam and invite people to Islam. Now, even though the people of Quraysh are fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, opposing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, attacking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, abusing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and spreading all those rumors against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to turn people away from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, but Islam continued to grow. And Islam continued to penetrate the hearts of people, even those that were at the forefront of fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And tonight, we'll be talking about the Islam of two great men who embraced Islam, who became Muslims, and after them embracing Islam, Islam was empowered, even though Islam doesn't need anyone, but Islam and the Muslims were empowered by those two men embracing Islam. And those two great men are two great Sahaba, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Hamza became a Muslim 3 days before Umar ibn al-Khattab. So you could say both of them became Muslims at the same time. And when Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib became a Muslim, he was the 51st Muslim to embrace Islam. So before Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, there were only 50 Muslims. And you could imagine 6 years and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had only 50 people had embraced Islam. And Hamza was the 51st Muslim to become a Muslim. And Umar al-Khattab was the 52nd to become Muslim. So the number of Muslims is still small. And you hear what Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say after he embraced Islam. Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, he's the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there's only a 2-year gap between Hamza and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. Hamza is older than the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam only by 2 years. Only by 2 years. So they were very close in age. And because they were very close in age, they were close to each other. The closest uncle to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Hamza because they grew up together. Not only that, they both breastfed from the same breastfeeding mother, which makes them not only uncle and nephew, also brothers in breastfeeding. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Hamza both were very close. Close. However, Hamza's character, he was tough, rough. He was known for his bravery, for his courage. But at the same time, he's that type of person that was just disconnected from what's going on. He wasn't into the politics or defying other people's leadership. Or he was one of the people who was just looking for prestige or for a position. Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, who was respected. He was an honorable man. But he was locked away from the political scene of the people of Quraysh. He knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling to Allah. He knew that the people of Quraysh are against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he was not too deep in it. He was more into his hobbies. His hobbies. His main hobby was hunting. That's him. You know, you've got some brothers. They just don't care what's going on. They like to go fishing. That's the hobby. Some people like bushwalking. Some people like camping. That's their hobby. It doesn't mean they're bad people. Just they don't want to deal with the politics, with the disagreements and disputes. Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib had that mindset. Respected, brave, courageous. He was fearful man. He loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was away. Like, you know, as we're speaking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hamza's name never popped up. We've never spoken about Hamza. He's like, he had his own hobbies. He was just into his hunting. And hunting what? Not rabbits and goats. He used to go and hunt lions. The man was tough. He was rough. His mindset is like into hunting. And that's why he used to go on hunting trips with his friends, by himself. So he was away from the scene. He wasn't part of the entire scene. What's happening with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companion, and the people of Quraysh, and the dispute and the ongoing debate and fighting and accusations between the people of Quraysh and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't into that sin. He knew of it, but he was just away from it. He was just too busy with what he's doing. One day, Abu Jahl, and Abu Jahl was known to be the most aggressive enemy to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day, Abu Jahl, out of anger from hearing what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, and the popularity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is increasing, and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are increasing, Abu Jahl couldn't hack it anymore. He was very aggressive. And Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance, before that he was known as Abul Hakam, the father of wisdom. And yes, he was a very wise man, except when it came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was very arrogant, very ignorant. If you read about the history and the background of Abu Jahl, he was a very respectful man, knowledgeable man, wise man. He was a good leader. But subhanAllah, when he came to Islam, he was blocked off. Subhanallah, he was just blocked off. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stopped calling him Abu al-Hakam, the father of wisdom, and started to call him Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. And Abu Jahl was the most aggressive leader of the people of Quraysh towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he never hid his anger, his hate to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. So one day he was so agitated from what he's hearing and seeing against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was so agitated from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, so he decided to go and insult the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And this story has been narrated in the 5th or the 6th year of the Hijrah, one of those 2 years. They're not going to get it precise. We have precise events in precise times, but sometimes we have precise events but not precise times. So whether in the 5th or 2nd, 6th year, is still close to the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam receiving his first revelation. So Abu Jahl saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the Safa. And he approached the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he started to abuse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was very aggressive. Abused the Prophet Muhammad alaihi salatu wasallam in all forms, swearing at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his wisdom, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam just looking at him. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying not even a word. And Abu Jahl had a number of people around him. It's not like he was by himself. Because Abu Jahl told his people, look what I'm going to go and do to Muhammad. Come with me. I'll show you what I'm going to do to this man. This apostate, Muhammad, that came into gatherings and town and city with a new religion that's divided between the son and father and divided between the families. So he went to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and abusing the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is quiet. And that's the best way to deal with an arrogant, ignorant person. So he got so agitated, so he hit the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a stick on the head of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to bleed. Look how aggressive, abrupt, rude this person is. And who did he hit? Not your mom or your dad. If someone calls you right now and tells you your mom or your dad were assaulted or they were hit, man, you're going to get up and run. And you know what? I understand where you're coming from, because I'll do the same thing. What about when it's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abu Jahl is talking to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, screaming at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, insulting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam did not say a word, ignoring him. He's not even worthy of replying back to. So Abu Jahl grabbed a stick and he hit the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam bleed. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And it wasn't only Abu Jahl and the Prophet Muhammad, other people are there. How insulting is that? How insulting is that? And this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you know what? Other sahaba were there, but they couldn't do much. They're not that strong. Who saw that? One female slave. One female slave that was a slave for one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she looked for Hamza. While she was looking for Hamza, Hamza was upon his return from his hunting trip. As I mentioned to you, he was disconnected. He knew what's going on, but he was disconnected. He wasn't in a mix of it. She went looking for Hamza, subhanAllah. Hamza was returning from his hunting trip. She straight away ran to him. And she said to him, Hamza, you're on your hunting trip and your nephew Muhammad is getting smashed and hit by Abu Jahl. Hamza was shocked. What? Muhammad? Abu Jahl hit him? That agitated Hamza. You know, subhanAllah, brought him back to reality. And Hamza was very close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but subhanAllah, up until this moment, he's never reacted, never said anything, and he wasn't even a Muslim. Even till this moment. He was not even a Muslim. So Hamza became so angry. And he went and looked for Abu Jahl. And he found Abu Jahl surrounded by his own people. And he came straight to Abu Jahl and he said to him, is it true that you swore at my nephew and you hit him? So Abu Jahl said, yes. So Hamza took his arrow and smashed him on his head and made him fall on the ground. So the people of Abu Jahl, his own family, his own kins, this is Abu Jahl that got up, they want to come and fight and hit back at Hamza. And Hamza told Abu Jahl, hit me back if you can. Hit me back if you can. Return it back on me. And that's when the family of Abu Jahl and his own kings and peoples and men got up to come and strike and hit back at Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. And Hamza ibn Muttalib is screaming at Abu Jahl, saying, "You hit my nephew and I am on his religion." And Hamza wasn't even on the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. "You hit and you strike Muhammad, my nephew, and I'm a follower of his religion? Get up and hit me back." So when his own people got up to hit him, Abu Jahl turned around to his own people and said, "Leave him alone. I aggressively abused his nephew. Leave him alone." He acknowledged, he confessed. You know what? Like what Abu Jahl is saying, what he did is right. I did that to his nephew, so now he's hitting me back. But subhanAllah, the reaction of Hamza, he wasn't even a Muslim. And he came straight to Abu Jahl saying to him that "you hit and you insult and you struck my nephew and I'm one of his followers." And as I mentioned to you, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was respected. He was a fearful person. People respected him. He was a brave person. People know Hamza. He's like, you know, he's that type of person that when you hear his name, you feel the toughness and the roughness of someone. And subhanAllah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Hamza. But you know what? He's stuck. He's not even a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He just got himself stuck into something that he had to ponder over. He just went and told Abu Jahl and he hit him because he's one of the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his nephew. But now he's stuck with something that he said. That night, he went and thought about it. What do I do? There's no way out of it. I just caused a big problem now on something that's probably not even... No, it's not true. Not even true. It's not true. He said that "you hit and you strike my nephew and I'm one of his followers." But he's not one of the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know that moment when it strikes in your mind? It's like, subhanAllah, a turning point. Just take a subhanAllah, one moment that you just think about and say, "I'll need to wake up." And subhanAllah, that was that moment for Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his mind and heart to Islam. He went and sat down with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that night, listened to what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to say, and had nothing else except to say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." Subhanallah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees ways for someone to become a Muslim. Maybe if it wasn't for this event, Hamza would have probably not even been part of the scene at all. He hasn't been part of the scene at all. You'll never hear the name of Hamza only until this moment. Before that, there's no name, there's no mention of Hamza. Hamza's completely out of the scene. He's completely out of the movie. He just comes in, subhanAllah, when he hears about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been beaten and struck by Abu Jahl. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this female slave to go and inform Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib upon his return from the hunting, and subhanAllah, he went to Abu Jahl. Had it come out of him, he could have just said, "You struck my nephew," and that's it. But subhanAllah, how Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted it to come out of him, "You struck my nephew, and I am one of his followers." Subhanallah, how Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted to hook him to be a Muslim. And it was like he was attached, not because he was convinced, but subhanAllah, is that turning point. A lot of people change their lives because of one incident. Subhanallah, one tiny little incident would turn their life upside down. And you hear many of the companions, it was that turning point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their lives. And having Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib on board, and one of the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that boosts the morale and the confidence of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Having someone like Hamza, yes, they've got honest, credible, respectful people, but sometimes you need someone with a size, with a bit of muscles, someone that people respect. And Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that person. But then another person comes along, Umar ibn al-Khattab. The difference between Hamza and Umar is that Hamza wasn't a follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he wasn't abusive to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, or the followers of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. On the other hand, Umar al-Khattab was a different story. Umar ibn al-Khattab, you'll put him as number 2 or 3 after Abu Jahl. You'll put him as number two or three after Abu Jahl. Umar al-Khattab was an easy bloke. He wasn't an easy person. He was a very aggressive person against Islam and Muslims. This is the difference. That Hamza, he had no issues with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wasn't a follower, but he had no issues with him and his followers. Umar, no. Umar, on the other hand, Umar was at the forefront of fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba, attacking his own companions. So much so that he had a slave. Umar al-Khattab had a slave. Her name is Zinira. He had a female slave. She became a Muslim. He tortured her so much until she lost her sight. What do you talk about this? This person was so aggressive. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was part of the scene. But unfortunately, he was a villain at the very beginning. You know, when you have a villain in the movie? He was that villain. Umar al-Khattab was anti-Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anti-Sahaba, anti-Islam. And he was actively fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. To the extent, two companions, a couple, husband and wife, when they were traveling from Mecca to Abyssinia, when we spoke about the story of Abyssinia, the Hijra, a couple were traveling and leaving Mecca, running away from people like Umar ibn Khattab. So subhanAllah, when they were traveling, they crossed paths with Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was very aggressive against Islam and Muslims. As I mentioned, you put him as number two or three after Abu Jahl. So this couple from the believers, from the Sahaba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were traveling and migrating from Mecca to Abyssinia. On their way, they crossed paths with Umar al-Khattab. So Umar al-Khattab told them what he's doing. So they said, we are leaving Mecca and leaving people like yourself. The female companion. She replied back to Umar, we're sick and tired of people like you. It's people like you that made us leave Mecca. So Umar al-Khattab replied back and he said, Bissalama. Inshallah you travel in peace. Like it's a nice gesture. The Muslim female companion, she freaked out. Like, you know, I didn't expect that from Umar. I probably expect a big slap on the face. Because that's what they were doing. They were doing this to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Constantly, non-stop. So Umar al-Khattab responded back in a nice way. She freaked out. So she went and informed her husband. So her husband said to her, what are you trying to say to me that Umar al-Khattab is sympathizing with us? By Allah, Umar will never ever become a Muslim until his donkey becomes a Muslim. That's a statement which means what? It never happened. A donkey to become Muslim, that will never happen. You know? That's never going to happen. So if you think that Umar ibn al-Khattab by this statement, by him being nice to us, upon a travel, especially someone like him, this guy will never become a Muslim until his donkey becomes a Muslim. And how did he become a Muslim? Amazing. He didn't become a Muslim coming to defend the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became a Muslim coming to kill the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab was one of those people who was on the forefront in fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam. And he was one of those people like Abu Jahl. And keep in mind, Abu Jahl is the uncle of Umar ibn al-Khattab from his mother's side. Abu Jahl is Umar ibn al-Khattab's mother's brother, Khal. So Abu Jahl is Umar ibn al-Khattab's uncle, which makes Umar ibn al-Khattab his nephew. And when you read the story of Umar ibn Khattab's father, Al-Khattab, he was a very aggressive person too. He was known for his aggression. So you could see that the character of his father had imparted and passed on his son, Umar al-Khattab. And Umar ibn Khattab was one of the leaders of Quraysh, but not T1, he'll be a T2. He'll be a T2 leader. And he was very diplomatic. And the people of Quraysh will use Umar al-Khattab as a messenger, an ambassador. He used to be the ambassador of the people of Quraysh to other tribes. So he was recognized and known in Quraysh, in Mecca and outside Mecca. So he was diplomatic, but rough, tough. He was big and he was strong. He'll take down. He was like known to be someone who'll take down anyone. Radiallahu ta'ala an. But up until this moment, he was at the forefront of fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He had enough. He had enough from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Islam spreading. So he decided one day to go and finish off the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If no one wants to do the dirty work, I'll do the dirty work. I'll get rid of Muhammad. That's Umar ibn Khattab. So he got himself ready. He carried his sword, went to the Kaaba, did tawaf. And you know, you don't carry your sword unless there's something happening. The Arabs have this custom. Especially a specific sword. They know, like, okay, like, you know, you're carrying, when you carry a sleeping bag, you're not going to be carrying a sleeping bag going to the shopping center. Obviously, there's something happening here. So he was carrying weapons that obviously it did flag what's going on here. So Umar al-Khattab, that's it. He was ready for war. Because, you know, at the end of the day, as I mentioned to you, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a backing. And his backing was his family. Not the Muslims, the non-Muslims. They were supporting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Not that because they believe the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on the right path. Because he's from their tribe. Tribalism. I mentioned this to you before. So Umar al-Khattab was willing to take the risk to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and deal with his family later on. So Umar al-Khattab was that person. He got himself ready, prepared. He went to the Kaaba. He did his tawaf and looked for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he was looking for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, searching for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, he's talking about a little town here, Mecca, that only had few thousands of dwellers, few thousands of residents and people who lived in it. So it's not hard to find someone. If you want to find someone, you find them. It's not like the big city. So he went and looked for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Searching for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of the good mates and friends of Umar ibn al-Khattab, who was a follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but not many people knew of him becoming a Muslim, including his friend Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His name is Nu'aym ibn Abdullah. He was a good friend of Umar. Follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but Umar didn't know he was a Muslim. Otherwise, Umar would lay into him too. He's not going to have mercy on him. Nu'aym from far, he saw. I know, this guy, he's my friend. He's my mate. And you know, when you've got a friend, you know, from the face, from the looks, you know what this person is up to. You know what this person is trying to do. So Nu'aym, he's a good friend of Umar al-Khattab. He saw Umar looking, carrying his sword. So Nu'aym approached him because Nu'aym, he's also fearful for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and concerned over the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. So he went to Umar al-Khattab and told him, like, you know, what's going on, Umar? Is everything all right? Are you up to something? So Umar al-Khattab bluntly said, yes, I'm ready to go and kill Muhammad. I want to kill Muhammad. I want to finish him off. I'm sick and tired of this man that's splitting between us here in Mecca. And I'm sick and tired of this man that talks bad about our idols. Now straight away, Nu'aym, he knows that this person is serious. It's Umar ibn al-Khattab. He knows that this person can cause damage. But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nu'aym radiallahu ta'ala anhu became concerned over the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he had to think fast. He had to do something. He had to say something. He had to divert him, at least go and warn the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe right now, in the next few minutes, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will cross paths with Umar ibn al-Khattab and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on his own. What's going to happen there? So Nu'aym, out of his care and concern over the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thought of a diversion to divert him. So he told him, what would you even want to go and kill Muhammad? What do you even want to do that? So Umar al-Khattab told him, did you follow him too? So Nu'aym said, no. Straight away. Backed off. But he said, you know what? If you really care and you are worried about what you are talking about and this is causing an issue, your aunt, sister and brother will become Muslims. Go and sort him out before you go and sort Muhammad. Go and fix your own backyard. Go and clean up your own mess. Your own sister Fatima and your brother-in-law, Saeed, both of them became Muslims. Go and sort them out. When Umar ibn Khattab heard that, he became excessively angry. Very angry that his own sister, his own flesh and blood became a Muslim. So he turned away from looking for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to his sister's house. Nu'aym He managed to divert him. Subhanallah, he did divert him. But unfortunately, he got other people stuck. His sister. Subhanallah, at that time, when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had arrived to his sister's house, Fatima bint al-Khattab and her husband Sa'id, who are from amongst the first of those who embraced Islam. When he had arrived to his sister's house and his brother-in-law's house, at that time, another companion by the name of Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Khabbab ibn al-Arat was one of those companions that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given a task and a responsibility for him to go and convey the new revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Muslims in Mecca. Khabbab ibn al-Arat was there at the house of Fatima, the sister of Umar al-Khattab, and he was teaching him the new revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. Umar al-Khattab comes and arrives. Upon his arrival to the house of his sister Fatima, he hears some words, something going on. He knocks on the door. Who is it? Umar ibn al-Khattab, his sister, brother-in-law, and Khabbab all become petrified. They know he's a very strong, tough man. And Khabbab ibn al-Arat was asked to go and hide in one of the rooms, and he left behind the piece of paper that had the new revelation that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Quran. Opens the door, Umar ibn al-Khattab, sees his sister Fatima and his brother-in-law. Is it true what I've heard, that both of you left the religion of your forefathers and became followers of Muhammad? So they replied back to him and said, we did not leave the religion of our forefathers, but we became Muslims. They used to use the word sabat, which is like a degrading word of being like more of a snitch. You've snitched your own religion. It's not a nice word. So they said, no, we became Muslims. We became followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So straight away start to lay into his brother-in-law. And Umar was tough, like he's not your ordinary tough person. He was tall, he was big, he was physically strong. He laid into his brother-in-law. He saw that obviously his sister, Fatima, saw her brother Umar al-Khattab laying into his own brother-in-law, bashing his own brother-in-law, said, she tried to stop him. Upon her trying to stop Umar al-Khattab laid into her, slapped her in the face, and she started to bleed. At that moment, Umar al-Khattab came back to his sense. Seeing his own sister, his own blood, his own flesh, his own sister, his own kin. He saw her bleeding because of his slap, because of his striking, so he stopped. He stopped the bashing. He stopped the hitting. And he sat down. When he sat down, subhanallah, what was in front of him? That piece of paper that had the new revelation. He was about to come and touch it. His sister screamed and he said, don't touch it. This is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only a pure person is allowed to touch it. Wow. That's a big statement. What do I have to do to touch it? You have to be pure. How do you become pure? You have to clean yourself, have a shower. So he did. Subhanallah. And then he came back, sat down, and then he looked at the verses. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Taha. Ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى الله أكبر. Powerful words. You hear a message, you probably don't even understand them, and it shakes your heart. Can you imagine when you understand it like an Arab, like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an? And Umar ibn Khattab is reading. And he was one of those literate. He used to read. Not many Arabs used to read at that time. And he's reading and he's amazed. He said, what a beautiful words. What a beautiful words. Someone that says these words must be worshipped alone. Someone that speaks and says these words must be worshipped alone. Where is Muhammad? What do you want from Muhammad? I want to follow him. Subhanallah. But you came here looking for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to kill him. Now you want to follow Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Who's listening from behind the wall? Khabbab ibn Arad. Khabbab ibn Arad start to hear that Umar ibn Khattab is coming around. So he comes out and he says, Umar, Allahu Akbar. Just 2 days ago, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam was making dua, saying, Ya Allah, strengthen Islam through either Umar ibn al-Khattab or Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham to become Muslim. Subhanallah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was making dua to the worst of people. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was making dua to Umar ibn Khattab and Amr ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl's name is Amr ibn Hisham. Your beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was making dua for him at night. Ya Allah got him to Islam. Of course, that's his responsibility. The responsibility of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to bring people to Islam, not to turn away from Islam. Not this attitude. La'natullah alaykum, Allah curse you and damn you and destroy you and cast you in the hellfire. That's not the attitude of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are the worst of people against the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is making dua for him at night. During the day, they attack him, abuse him, assault him, fight against him. And then at night, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raises his hand and says, Ya Allah, guard him to Islam. Bring him to Islam. Khabbab ibn Arad comes out and he says, by Allah, I heard the messenger of Allah making dua, saying, oh Allah, strengthen Islam. By either one of the two people become Muslims, Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham Abu Jahl. And it looks like Allah chose a new Umar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. So they take him to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They take him to the gathering of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at Dar al-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam, the headquarters that was spoken about before. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is there with a group of companions. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes and attends to Dar al-Arqam ibn al-Arqam. He knocks on the door. They look through the little hole of the door to see who is it. It's Umar ibn al-Khattab. The last thing that will cross their mind that this person is coming for peace. The last thing that will cross their mind that this person is coming to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first thing that came to their mind that this person is coming here for trouble. Straight away in the house, people are just talking, saying, oh, it's Umar, Umar, Umar. What are we going to do with Umar? He's here for trouble. Who's going to stand against him? What are we going to do against him? At that time, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was there. He said, oh, messenger of Allah, tell him to calm down. Let him come in. If he wants good, we'll give him good. If he wants bad, we'll kill him with his own sword. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, everyone aside, let him come here. They opened the door for Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. And Umar ibn Khattab walks in. At that moment, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks at Umar ibn Khattab, grabs him by his shirt and pushes him towards him. And he says to him, oh Umar, isn't it time for you to know that I am the messenger of Allah and there's no God except Allah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes you and destroys you? Umar ibn al-Khattab goes on his knees and said, oh, messenger of Allah, by Allah, I know that there's no God except Allah and you are the messenger of Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka rasulullah. Takbir Allahu Akbar in the house. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum now are supported by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is now one of the Sahaba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the followers of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. What a great moment that you have 3 days ago, Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, and now you have Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. And then at that moment, Umar ibn al-Khattab, so motivated, so inspired. Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me to be a Muslim. What an honor. I'm a follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's the one that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for. Oh Allah, strengthen Islam through Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Umar. And Umar was the only one at that time to come out. From the very moment he became a Muslim, he left the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and went to the Kaaba. And he saw the gathering of the people of Quraysh and he asked, who is the loudest mouth amongst the people of Quraysh? Who speaks a lot? You know those loud mouths? So they told him, there's a guy, his name is Jamil ibn Ma'mar. So he went for Jamil. He said, Jamil, listen to me. I am Umar ibn al-Khattab and I say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Umar ibn al-Khattab says, by Allah, Jamil did not even say a word. Straight away, he ran, saying, oh people, Umar! Umar left your religion. Umar snitched your religion. And Umar al-Khattab is following, saying, no, you're wrong. I became a Muslim. And he's going around saying, he snitched your religion. And he's saying, you're wrong. I became a Muslim. And then he went to the people of Quraysh while they were sitting down. And he said, oh, people of Quraysh, I'm telling you all right now. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And then he went to his uncle, Abu Jahl, who's known to be one of the leaders of the people of Quraysh, one of the most aggressive leaders of Quraysh against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to his house. He knocked on his door. Abu Jahl saw Umar, his nephew. Welcome, my nephew. He said, "Uncle, I'm here to tell you something. Say, tell me, what good news do you have?" So he said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." So Abu Jahl said, "Damn you, this is the worst thing I've heard today," and he closed the door on him. And then he went back to the Kaaba. And he continued to say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu Muhammadan rasulullah." So the people of Quraysh gathered to hit him, to rumble him. They jumped on him. And he's saying, "They were hitting me, I'm hitting them back." And they hit me and hit him back. And he said, "By Allah, I'll continue to stay here." And then he said the statement that I told you, I'll mention it to you. He told the people of Quraysh, he said, "By Allah, if we were, as the believers, Muslims, if we were 300 of us, it's either us or you here." He was the 52nd Muslim and follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he said, "If we were 300, it's either us or you here." 300, all we need is 300. The number is 300. If we are 300 in Mecca, it's either us or you. And Umar al-Khattab said, "Until the end of the day, they hit men and hit him. They bash men and bash him. Until one old man, one old wise man went past and said, 'Leave the man alone. He chose something for himself. Leave him alone.'" So he went back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, "O messenger of Allah, are we on the truth if we live or die?" And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You are, by Allah, you are on the truth if you live or die." "O messenger of Allah, are they on falsehood whether they live or die?" Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By Allah, they are on falsehood whether you live or die, whether they live or die." "You're on the truth whether you live or die." "They're on falsehood whether they live or die." So he said to him, "O messenger of Allah, then why do we hide our religion? Why do we hide our religion? What are we hiding it for? Let us go out in the open and start calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah azza wa jalla openly." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with 40 of his men, divided in two rows, each row 20 men. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the middle. In the front line of the first row, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. And in the front line of the second row, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. And the rest of the Sahaba are walking to the Kaaba, saying, "La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah." A scene that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum never ever encountered before, never ever seen before, never ever experienced before. And they went all the way to the Kaaba, prayed next to the Kaaba, all of them. Something never ever happened before. And no one dared to come near him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, "By Allah, we did not have the courage to openly say we are Muslims and pray near the Kaaba until Hamza and Umar al-Khattab both became Muslims." Subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jalla uses one person. One person. Even Allah doesn't need him. Allah doesn't need Umar. Allah doesn't need Abu Bakr. Allah doesn't even need Muhammad, you and I, and no one else. But Allah honors you. It's an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from being one of the worst of non-Muslims, one of the worst of non-Muslims, one of the worst of enemies of Islam, into becoming the best of Muslims, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on says, "If Allah wanted to choose a prophet after me, it would have been Umar." Look at his past and look where he became. Subhanallah. Allah azza wa jalla is great. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not turn away from anyone until you turn away from him. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will continue to praise Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the extent, as I mentioned to you, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam says, "If Allah wanted to choose a prophet after me, it would have been Umar ibn Khattab." And once he grabbed Abu Bakr and Umar, said, "We'll be resurrected like this in the hereafter." The Sahaba said, "By Allah, we've always said it's Abu Bakr and Umar, or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar went, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar, we were very close and a very tight circle. With other companions, of course. But Abu Bakr is different. Abu Bakr is there from the very beginning, without a doubt. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him. At that moment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him Al-Faruq, criterion, or the distinguisher. That distinguishes between truth and falsehood. Between right and wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be called Al-Faruq. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the one that relates or narrates the story when he was named Al-Faruq after the incident that he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, O Messenger of Allah, are we on the truth? And are they on the falsehood? And that's the moment that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him the Faruq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam asked Allah, oh Allah, strengthen Islam through either Umar ibn Khattab becoming a Muslim or Amr ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl to become Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Umar ibn Khattab, and Allah did strengthen Islam and strengthen the Muslims through Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib and Umar ibn Khattab. Two great companions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen to become Muslims. After them, the Muslims had boosted their morale, their confidence, to have, alhamdulillah, two senior, brave, respectful men from the people of Quraysh who are now followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, we continue to become honored and respected after Umar became a Muslim. You be that reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor Islam through you. You should be the next Umar. Every single one of us should be the next Hamza. Every single one of us should be the next Abu Bakr and Uthman. Every single one of us should be the next great companions to continue being a reason that you honor Islam, not to dishonor Islam. You should be the face of a great honor of Islam, not a face that dishonors Islam. Your action and what you say, what you do, will always reflect upon Islam and your representation of Islam. And we have this onus and responsibility. You have an eye, especially in a Muslim country like Australia, or anywhere around the world. What you do, what you say, people are going to point at you and say, this is Islam. They're not going to say, it's him or her or them. They're going to say, Muslims and Islam. Allah honored Muslims through Umar. You be another honor that you honor Islam through you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon what they listen and hear. Subhanakallah hamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. And inshaAllah we'll continue with more on the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tune in, come in, attend, be with us next Thursday, 7:50 Sydney time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Assalamu